worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Rowe Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Austin just texted me, he's running a few minutes behind. You know, it's frustrating. He's got to go to the gym, he's got to get pumped up, he's got to get his protein shake, and then he shows up for the show. And actually, he was scheduled to do some other stuff this morning. He's running long. So I was aware of all of this morning. I'm just busting his chops a little bit. But he'll be here in a few minutes. Interesting story came out this morning with Steve Bannon. And I like Steve. Now, whether or not he's telling you the truth about everything, I have no idea. But he says, Steve Bannon says that Elon Musk should provide specific accounting of fraud uncovered by Doge. I completely agree with him on this. Steve Bannon, the U.S. President Donald Trump's former chief strategist, on Wednesday said that before Elon Musk pulls back from his work with the Department of Government Efficiency, he needs to make clear what fraud and waste of the federal government has been uncovered. He's talking about details now. We need to have very specific accounting of what he found as far as fraud, waste, and, I mean, details, said Bannon. None of this makes any sense. Bannon also said he wants a letter of certification showing that no one has taken any data from the Trump administration or government, to which Semaphore's editor-in-chief Ben Smith asked, sounds like you don't trust Musk not to take data. Trust but verify, Bannon responded. While Bannon has reported Doge's efforts, he has called Musk evil in an escalating clash with the tech billionaire. Bannon said Wednesday that Doge was a blunt force instrument that was needed to gut government waste, but that the cuts made to the federal government so far are only programmatic. Nothing, noting that Doge hasn't turned up much from the Pentagon. He's absolutely right, by the way. The Pentagon and other facets of the federal government discretionary spending are where Bannon wants to see budget cuts to pay for tax cuts. Unless you do that, the math doesn't work out, Bannon said, noting that the U.S. has added $1.3 trillion to the federal deficit so far this year. I mean, that's absolutely insane, but he's absolutely right on this. And he said, that current system we have is not sustainable. Bannon, a vocal advocate of raising taxes on millionaires, which is nonsense, by the way, also urged the Trump administration to do what they're talking about, referring to recent reports that the president's inner circle is considering this. Bannon has doubled down on criticism of Commerce Secretary Howard Lutnick, saying it would be an unmitigated disaster if he had been given a role in the Treasury Secretary. Think about people putting their own interests first, like Elon, Bannon said. While U.S. tariffs have sent financial markets into a turmoil and weakened the outlook for global economic growth, Bannon expressed confidence that the U.S. will come up and out on top, escalating the trade war with China. It's a battle between two systems. If you think their system is going to win, you're kidding yourself. We're going to win this. Commenting on populist nationalists, Bannon warned that the alternative was something like Lucian Maggio, the man charged with killing the United Healthcare CEO from last year. He's treated like Robin Hood, Bannon said. That should scare you to the marrow of your bones, because that's the alternative if the system keeps going like this. The populist nationalists offer something you're not going to love, but you're going to be able to live with it. Countries are reassuring and reassessing right now how much they spend on defense and security in a world where the post-World War II order seems increasingly fractured. As governments struggle to boost defense budgets, the role of private companies are also in focus. The public and private approach to technical innovation could be the defining factor in future conflicts. Now, the one thing that's always interesting to me with Steve Bannon, and I like Steve, like I said, he spent a few months in jail because of what he did for Congress, etc. But the truth is this, you know, nobody wants to bring the Rothschild banking cartel into this conversation. Nobody wants to talk about the Federal Reserve Bank. He's talking about how the debt that we have in the United States is unsustainable, how the increase in debt is unsustainable with another $1.3 trillion going into the debt this year. But the reality is nobody talks about the only way to pay off the national debt is to print more money, because that's the way the Ponzi scheme is set up. He never breaches that. He never talks about that I've heard him talk about. Now, I might be wrong. If he has, go ahead and send me a link to it, and I'll go ahead and I'll read what he says about that on the air also. But the Federal Reserve Bank in 1913 with Woodrow Wilson was the single biggest treachery act that has ever been propagated against the population of the United States. And that's why we're in this giant Ponzi scheme that eventually you run out of money with fiat currency to pay the debt off. So that's why gold has gone through the roof, and that's why everybody's saying how it is unsustainable. The problem is you cannot, with a debt-based economy based upon borrowing more dollars from the Fed, you cannot pay back the national debt without liquidating the M1 money supply, which is the money in circulation. Back in 2008, total dollars in circulation was approximately $800 billion.
That's all. Less than $1 trillion in circulation. And all the rest of it was derivatives and exposure as far as in the credit markets and the credit swaps. And what happened is there was a big shortage of cash. We saw that with Lehman Brothers, and the Fed had to start pumping huge amounts of money for liquidity into the markets globally because the Ponzi scheme had come to an end. They weren't creating enough cash, creating enough money through the Treasury in order to maintain the Ponzi scheme. So they started pumping huge amounts of trillions in 2008 and more. Because remember, there was 1.3 or 1.4 quadrillion, that's 1.4 thousand trillions of dollars in debt that there was no money to pay back for because the money had never been printed. This is the result of 100 years of a Ponzi scheme called the Federal Reserve Bank. And when you understand that, you start to understand why in the world it can't be paid back. By the way, another career criminal, apparently, bless his heart, George Santos, is to be sentenced Friday in federal fraud case. He pleaded guilty to wire fraud and aggravated identity theft. Now, he's a congressman, and I don't really understand a lot of this as far as the realities when they come after people like George. And I'm not saying he's a good guy. I don't know. But whenever they make an example of a particular congressman and they want to get him out like they do with trafficking, there's a reason. There's something that he did they don't like. Disgraced former U.S. Representative George Santos is set to be sentenced in New York federal court on Friday after pleading guilty to a series of fraudulent schemes. Santos, 36, was convicted of wire fraud and aggravated identity theft. He faces a sentence of 75 to 87 months imprisonment, including a mandatory minimum two-year sentence for aggravated identity theft. In court filing ahead of Friday's sentencing hearing on Long Island, federal prosecutors requested the maximum possible sentence amounting to 7 years and 3 months, calling his conduct a brazen web of deceit that defrauded donors and misled voters. They also argued the former New York congressman's recent social media blitz shows he remains unrepentant for his crimes in a subsequent filing. And one example, the prosecutors pointed to an April 4th post on Santos' X account that stated, "No matter how hard the DOJ comes for me, they are mad because they will never break my spirit." The post was made the same day the DOJ filed its initial sentencing recommendation. Santos, meanwhile, insisted in a letter to Judge Jonah Seibert this week that he had accepted full responsibility for his crimes. He said he can be both profoundly sorry and upset by the Justice Department's recommendation of a lengthy prison sentence. He goes, "But saying I'm sorry doesn't require me to sit quietly while these prosecutors try to drop an anvil on my head. True remorse isn't mute. It's aware of itself, and it speaks up when the penalty scale jumps to the absurd," Santos' letter said. Santos included a selective chart to suggest a government sentencing recommendation is out of step with other political prosecutions, citing former Illinois Representative Jesse Jackson Jr. being sentenced for 30 months for misusing $750,000 in campaign funds, and ex-New York Representative Michael Grimm being sentenced to 8 months for concealing $900,000 in wages and taxes. Santos asked for a two-year prison sentence. So, you know, regardless of how you like these people who are basically in Congress, or if you don't like them, or if you do like them, a lot of these folks think that they're above the law. They can do whatever they want to do, whenever they want to do it, however they want to do it. And the sad part about it is it doesn't have to be that way if we put elected officials into office that are basically clean. The problem is nobody's clean. Everybody's done something wrong somewhere in their life with somebody or something. And the sad part about it is when they find out what those things are, sometimes they'll come after you regardless of, you know, being repentant, regardless of trying to be a better person, regardless of the mistake that you made, regardless of learning from your mistakes, they simply come after you. Now, another interesting article came in this morning. We already knew this. The collapse of U.S. home sales is upon us. It's a very difficult time for real estate agents that are trying to sell their homes. A lot of real estate agents, by the way, are really, really struggling financially. As I've documented below, sales of previously owned homes in the United States just fell to the lowest level that we have seen since 2009. Needless to say, March 2009, we were in the middle of the Great Recession. Meanwhile, the number of unsold homes that are currently on the market just continues to pile up. This is likely to put an enormous amount of downward pressure on home prices in the months ahead. Of course, the collapse of U.S. home sales that we are now witnessing did not actually begin during the Trump administration. In 2024, while Joe Biden was still in the White House, sales of previously owned homes hit the lowest levels in almost three decades. The final figure for home sales from last year are in, and the story is quite grim. 2024 was the slowest year for existing home records in nearly 30 years. Existing home sales last year totaled 4.06 million, the lowest on an annual basis since 1995. A big factor behind the slowdown was elevated mortgage rates, which spent most of the year above 6.5%. In 1995, 266 million people were living in the United States. Today, 340 million are living in the United States. So on a per capita basis, things were even worse last year than they were in 95. And now it appears that our problems are accelerating. The number of previously owned homes sold in March 2025 was even lower than it was in March of 2024. In fact, we haven't seen a March like this since 2009. Higher mortgage rates and concern over the broader economy are making for a weak start to the all-important spring housing market. Sales of previously owned homes in March fell by 5.9% from February to 4.02 million units on a seasonally adjusted annualized basis, according to the National Association of Realtors. That's the slowest March sales since the pace of 2009. The housing market is in a depressed state. Now, the sad part about it is, a lot of people don't realize that this is exactly what happened to us in 2007, 2008, 2006. We had huge boom in the housing market. People were using their houses as an ATM, pulling money out of them. And when they started to reignite the housing market because of the low interest rates, what happened? People started doing the same thing. Their houses were going up $40,000, $50,000, $60,000, $100,000 a year. And a lot of them were flipping out of houses and going into more and more and more expensive homes every year using the equity as a down payment. And we've seen this happen again, as we saw in 2008. The thing that's always, you know, strange to me is that people see these things happening around them and they don't know what to do as far as how to correct them in their own behavioral patterns. Now, what do I mean by that? You know, it's difficult in many cases to live within your means. It really is. I've got to admit that. But what I've learned over the years is this. A lot of people buy things they don't need with money they don't have to impress people they don't know. I'm going to repeat that one because I heard a Baptist preacher say that one time. A lot of people buy things they don't need with money they don't have, which means they're borrowing the money to impress people they don't know. And social media has been a major factor in all of this. It has really, really affected people. They see you on Instagram. They see you on Facebook. They see you, you know, traveling the world with your family and your friends. And they're thinking, oh, my gosh, you know, Joe is doing all this. I need to do all of this. And a lot of people confuse prosperity with debt. Say it again. A lot of few people confuse prosperity with debt. You know, Joe's got a brand new car. Joe's wife's got a brand new car. They've got a beautiful home. They've got a swimming pool. They've got a boat. What people don't realize is every single thing that Joe owns is financed to the hilt. He doesn't own anything. The bank owns everything that he has. He has this appearance of wealth. The other day, I had a friend of mine who's a realtor now, and she told me she had the privilege of flying on a private jet a few months back, and she goes, I didn't realize what the private jet was. And I said, what do you mean? She goes, I didn't realize that people get on private jets and they take selfies of themselves and pictures of themselves. And, you know, I've seen that, by the way, a lot. And a lot of times people take selfies of themselves on a private jet, but the jet's not flying. But you don't know the jet's not flying because you can't see outside. And so that, you know, they're acting like they're on this jet flying from here to there. And they're just sitting on a friend's plane or somebody else's plane or at the airport on a plane taking pictures of themselves. And, you know, back in the 80s and the 90s, we saw a lot of the real estate commercials on TV, these home study courses that teach you how to, you know, make a fortune on other people's money. And a lot of people say, well, I remember those. And I remember one guy that I knew, not personally, but I knew of his show doing that. Everything that he was doing was fake. He would have people come on and give testimonials about how they used his protocol and be take one, take two, take three, take four. And none of the takes were even accurate. These people never even used his program. They were paid actors. And finally, they busted him, and they were able to actually use take one, take two, take three, because he kept all the film out of, I guess, arrogance or out of whatever he was doing from a marketing standpoint to basically keep in his records and files. And they found those files and records, and they realized that every single testimonial he had was fake. You know, his stand in front of a Rolls Royce, not his car. His stand in front of a mansion, not his car. His stand in front of a jet, not his jet. All of these things happen a lot, and they're happening again with social media because there's no policing the social media now because people are making all these crazy claims and making all these innuendos that they own all this stuff and they really don't. So be very, very careful on who you follow. I know I've got a friend of mine. Every time I turn around, she's sending me another social media person, another social media person, another social media person. And almost all the people that she's sending me are women. And all these women are making all these bold claims about, you know, women can be this and women can be that and women can be this and women's liberation is here, you know, and they're not saying they're feminists, but they are. And the sad part about it is I'm not saying that a woman can't be all she wants to be. I'm not saying she can't be a CEO. I'm not saying she can't be anything that she wants to be. I'm not saying that whatsoever. But what I'm saying is that what most women want? The most women want to have a career in which they work 60 hours a week, where they never have children, where they never get married, they never have the experience of motherhood. I mean, I don't know. A lot of women may want that. A lot of women may not. But the reality is I don't want to listen to women who want that. I know that sounds awful, doesn't it? You know, I was happily married for a long, long time, and I liked having my wife with me. I liked having her as my partner. I liked having a true love. I liked having her as part of my life, my entire life. I liked all of that stuff, and I think we've left those principles of the Word of God behind us, and we've shifted our way into the world now. And we think, well, let's work and work and work and get all the stuff we can get, and then you find out pretty soon that you're lonely. You find out pretty soon that the money doesn't make you happy. You find out pretty soon that the car doesn't make you happy. It's just more debt. Or the car, even if you have it paid for, requires maintenance and oil changes and all the other things. And pretty soon you start to realize, wait a minute, all this stuff is just stuff. You know, we came naked into this world, and we're going to pretty much leave the same way. We're not taking anything with us. So striving after all of this stuff is chasing after the wind, according to the book of Ecclesiastes. It said it's better with one handful with peace and tranquility than two handfuls with strife and chasing after the wind. Think about that for a second. How much do you want to work to try to impress your neighbor? How much do you want to work to try to impress your friends or your brothers or your sisters or your family members? How many hours a week do you want to put in? I know back in the 80s, oh my gosh, I was putting 100-hour work weeks all the time. My routine was 100-hour work week. I was working two jobs. I'd started Health Masters. I basically was working, you know, 16 hours a day, 7 days a week. You think, well, that sounds crazy. I know. And I came down with heart disease, and I almost died. I almost killed myself. And then I realized that God says in His Word, He goes, it's not by power, it's not by strength, it's by my Spirit, saith the Lord. And I started to understand that if you allow God to do what God does, you know, zwei Leben stützen, brechen nicht, beten, arbeiten, heißen sie, two principles in life you can't break are prayer and work. You let God do what God does, He'll put opportunity in front of you. He'll give you opportunity that you never imagined. But you have to allow Him the time to do that, and you have to give Him the time to do that, and you can't be trying to do it all on your own all of the time. It doesn't work that way. And then I see people that have all kinds of health issues. You know, I mean, it's crazy. And you stop and you look at it, you go, well, why are you eating this food? You know, the other day I was talking to a young lady and she was drinking a Diet Coke. And I said to her, you know, that causes all kinds of cancers. The aspartame is unbelievably poisonous. She goes, well, my mom died of cancer when she was 49 years of age. And I'm very careful in what I put into my body. And I try not to eat certain types of foods, which may increase the risk of cancer. And I said, well, do you drink coffee? She goes, yes. And I said, well, you know, coffee contains a compound called the methylxanthine, which can increase the risk of breast cancer and fibroid tumors in breast tissue. She goes, well, I didn't know that. I said, well, I'm letting you know that. That aspartame you have basically contains phenylalanine, aspartic acid, and methanol, which is paint thinner, and they're all three neurotoxins, and they've been linked to brain tumors and brain cancers and seizures. In fact, I wrote a whole article on that called Aspartame, A Chronicle of Crime. And she goes, well, I didn't know that either. So it turned into one of those kind of conversations. But the reality is you ask yourself a question. You say, you know, why don't people listen? Why don't people want to change what they're doing? The truth is they don't want to change what they're doing because they're programmed to do the things that they're doing. Let's do another example. In this past year, as you guys know, I'm in the dating pool. In this past year, I've gone out with several girls, probably about a half a dozen over the year, that I've talked to, and all of them have told me that their ex-boyfriends are gay, and they didn't know that when they started dating the guys. And I'm like, what's going on with our society today? This is from cultural Marxism. This is from raising a broken household with kids in it. You know, years ago, Katie Couric, you know, did a bunch of different seminars on, you know, on, I think it was Dateline NBC. And I remember one of the things that she did in one of the shows that Barbara Walters did is they interviewed a bunch of different people who were gay and lesbians, and they wanted to find out what kind of parents that they made. Now, this is an interesting story, and I found it fascinating because I watched it because I was curious. And what happened is the boys who were raised with homosexual dads, none of the boys were gay. They were all straight. You think about that for a second. The boys that were raised by lesbian mothers, all of the boys were gay. Now, think about that for a second, because the mothers were the dominating factor, and they never developed a relationship with their male, you know, with their father. And so they basically cleaved to their mother, and they never let their mother go, and they became gay. And I've seen this in my own life in families where the mother is extremely dominant and runs the family. A lot of times the guys become gay. The boys do. And the sad part about it is that you think about it, how it's out of balance again with God's word. And I'm not saying that a guy should basically lord over a woman and basically tell her what to do every day of her life, because it's nonsense. You don't treat people like that. You know, she should submit one to another is what the word says. And a man should love his wife so much he's willing to die for her. But, you know, there's a certain point in time, though, where the mother has to let the family and the kids go, particularly with the sons. And they've got to let those sons become more attached to their father so they learn how to hunt and learn how to wash cars and learn how to work in the yard and all the rest. And if they don't do that, that child will gravitate more and more towards the feminine leadership and become more and more feminized. I've seen it repeatedly in my own life and in my family and my family's lives and all the people that we know. But I found it crazy that all these people are finding all these guys after they start dating them are gay. I had another friend of mine. She, I won't tell you where she lives. Let's put her in California. She doesn't live in California. Let's make it California. The girl was in California. She was dating this guy. He was a really good looking guy, about 10 years younger than her. And he basically was a dancer and a singer and an entertainer. And, you know, and suddenly she says, well, we're engaged now. We're going to get married. And I said, well, great. I'm happy for you. And I said, you know, has he ever kissed you? And she goes, well, no. He doesn't want to kiss me because he wants to wait until after we get married in order to, you know, consummate, you know, our marriage. I said, okay. So he's really trying to be careful with you. She goes, yeah. I said, are you sure he's not gay? And she goes, oh, no. He would never be gay. No. And I said, okay, all right. So they got married. And then about a year later, I'm talking to her. She's a friend. And she goes, yeah, I'm divorced. I'm like, you're divorced? Well, you were right. He was gay. And I'm like, yeah, I figured. And she goes, the thing about it is he had porn-induced erectile dysfunction. The core problem is he's, you know, looking at gay porn. And see, and this is the situation that we have now in the United States. We have so many people out here that are hooked on pornography, both men and women. And I'm just being real candid with you guys right now, that they're looking at things they should never have seen. They're being engaged with certain types of behavioral patterns they should have never been engaged in. And when they get older, they end up by basically, you know, fighting that urge. I had a friend this morning. She called me up. Good friend. In fact, I got her saved several years ago. And she had a boyfriend, and then she found out he was gay. And then he said that he had been abused by his brother, you know, in their family when he was younger, sexually abused. And now he was fighting these urges for this. Let me share this with you again, and I've told you this before, and it's very, very important. If you've got young kids, don't let them go to other people's homes unless you really, really know the other person. This is very, very important. And you got to make sure that, you know, honestly, I would tell you to keep them in different bedrooms. I wouldn't even let them be in the same bedroom at night. I've heard that same story over and over again with both girls and boys as far as when they share the room with each other in the middle of the night. Because they're curious a lot of times. They're not really gay. They're just curious. And they start getting involved with things they shouldn't be involved in. So be very, very careful when you see this happen in your own family or in your family's family, your extended family, or friend's family, and warn them to keep them away from certain types of people. You need to know the other children that these people have in their lives. Very important. By the way, an industry insider explains why the coming shortages are going to be so crazy. The United States imported $438 billion worth of goods from China in 2024. All of a sudden, most of that trade is being cut off. Tariffs on Chinese goods are now so high that it no longer makes economic sense for Chinese companies to export products to the U.S., and it no longer makes sense for the U.S. companies to import products from China. As a result, container bookings are absolutely plummeting, and retail CEOs are warning that store shelves all over America will soon be empty. Yes, retailers will attempt to find replacement items from other sources when it is possible to do so, but in many cases, things that are made in China are not made anywhere else. As retailers run through existing inventory levels, shortages will begin to appear. Hear what he said. I do not believe we should have ever started trading with China. I agree with that, by the way. And that's why our textile industry has been destroyed in the United States. And I would love to see a day in the future when we no longer trade with China. But at this moment, we are deeply, deeply dependent on China. Nobody can deny this. Our economy literally cannot function normally without Chinese imports. And now most of these imports will no longer be coming across the ocean. Most Chinese imports fell into these 10 categories. Electrical machinery and TV parts, $124 billion. 28% of the imports from China. Nuclear reactor parts and mechanical appliances, $82 billion, 18%. Now, think about this. How are we going to maintain our nuclear reactor parts if we can't get them out of China now? Just thought I'd mention that. Toys, games, and sports equipment, $30 billion, 7% coming out of China. Plastics, $19 billion, 4% of coming out of China. Furniture, lamps, and prefabricated buildings, $18.52 billion, 4% of total imports. Vehicles, $16 billion, 4% of imports from China. Iron and steel, $11.9.8 billion. Optical and photographic arts, $11 billion. Clothing, $9.9 billion. Shoes, $9.78 billion. 2% of total imports from China. All of these things are happening to us right now, and we're going to have a shortage of these particular items. But the biggest thing that I see right now is the electrical machinery and TV parts. Now we're talking about like washers and dryers and TVs that we're bringing in. So you buy your 85-inch TV, and you get it on sale at Sam's. You pay $850 for it. Well, once these run out of inventory, you're not going to pay $850 for it. It's going to cost a whole lot more. But $124 billion worth of these parts, 28% of total imports from China, are all about this particular electrical machinery and TV parts. Did you know that China makes 80% of our toys? If you're going to need toys later this year, you may want to stack up on toys for now. But so remember, if you need toys, contact me. I have a bunch of toys. I've got a bunch of toys from my family, from my kids, and from my grandkids that we apparently don't need any longer, so we could do that. I'm being facetious, by the way. So there's a lot of people out there selling a lot of toys, and you can always get toys in yard sales, too, because people get tired of having toys laying all over their house when the kids get grown. I'm a little distracted now because Austin just walked in. It's so good to see you.
I'm here. Hey, everybody. Get some stuff pulled up here real quick.
I hope you had a great birthday party this morning.
I did. It was fantastic.
It's not his birthday. Showing up late. It's got to be his birthday.
No. Had some other stuff to handle. How's the show been so far?
It's been good. It's been a lot of fun. We've talked about keeping kids away from other kids that you don't know who the kids are and not letting them spend the night at certain kids' homes.
It's a fact. You got to be careful.
And how many guys and so many girls now have gotten involved in alternative sexual stuff because of who they've hung around with and because of social media and all the other sick stuff that's basically online that kids should never have seen to start with.
No, there's no question about it. There's way too much stuff online that a lot of kids do not need to be seeing. But also, speaking of health news here, I want to flip this over because this is something that's pretty cool. Dairy industry says it's removing all artificial dyes from food that's sold to schools. This is starting basically immediately now, and they're going to be phasing out all the other food colorings by mid-2026. This is for different milks, cheeses, and yogurts. You'd be surprised how many different food colorings are in these items. In a lot of cases, they're being fed to kids on a regular basis.
When they get ultra-processed, they lose a lot of their coloring.
Oh, yeah, exactly. And especially if there's like a fruit yogurt, strawberry, blueberry, they add colors to that. And this stuff is phasing out. They said red 3, red 40, green 3, blue 1, blue 2, yellow 5, yellow 6. They're going to be removed from all items from dairy products from schools pretty much starting immediately. And they're going to be phased out of everything else by 2026. So they're doing it. Robert Kennedy Jr. is doing it. They're bringing it out. He's getting the stuff out of here. And so it's pretty exciting.
You know, I don't want to be shocked by this, but I'm shocked by this.
I know.
I didn't expect this. No, I mean, the fact that this stuff got into the food supply to start with, Austin, is mind-boggling. And the fact that he got it out within a few months is mind-boggling to me. I am so shocked that this has not happened 50 years ago. Because, I mean, I was talking about ADD and autism and all the rest of these different things. I wrote a book on this 25 years ago. And 10, 15 years before that, I talked about red dyes and blue dyes and yellow dyes and how they were linked to ADD and ADHD. And it's sad that I knew about this stuff, 35 years ago, and now finally we're getting it out of the food supply.
I know.
I guess there was a lot of people that basically they were pioneers in this field who were telling the truth about this stuff. It just took a long time for the institutions that manufacture this stuff to change, and they still would not have changed had he not forced this through HHS.
No, they wouldn't have. They'd still keep it on. I mean, the fact that we have these products, the same items, these cereals that are in Europe that don't have food coloring, and yet you have the same ones in the United States that have it, just show you that they did not want to take it out at all.
But I will say this also, and this is, I'm not taking away from Kennedy, the vast majority of the people in the United States don't do research on this kind of stuff.
No, they don't.
They don't know. They really don't know. They really don't care. When you tell them about it, they really don't have any interest in it because they're trying to, you know, buy things they don't need with money they don't have to impress people they don't know, like we mentioned earlier in the show. And they're basically not really as concerned as they should be about their children's nutrition because the school is feeding them. So therefore, the school should be responsible on giving these kids everything they need as far as from a nutritional standpoint. By the way, senior Russian general, it was a big deal, by the way, has been assassinated in a car by last, just ahead of the Witkoff-Putin meeting. Top general has been assassinated in Russia on Friday, authorities have confirmed, less than 20 miles from Moscow. The deceased general has been identified as Lieutenant General Moskulak, head of main operations directed of the general staff of the Russian Armed Services. Big deal. It's like the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, who died when a homemade explosive device detonated under his Volkswagen Golf, according to TASS. Shrapnel ripped through the area and what appears to be a residential neighborhood. Crucially, ahead of the news blast and killing was breaking just prior to President Trump's special envoy, Steve Witkoff, meeting with Russian leader Putin in Moscow. The two sides are trying to find a way forward toward Ukraine peace settlement, which President Zelensky clearly has not been on board with because he has not yet destroyed Ukraine and not yet siphoned enough money off illegally. Just thought I'd add that. Witkoff is in his meeting with Putin at the Kremlin by early Friday afternoon, during the time with which General Molotov's assassination, accompanied by a shocking video of the event, was spreading around the world. Witkoff also met with senior Russian negotiator Kirill Dmitriev. Initial investigation of the scene has resulted in authorities describing that an improvised explosive device, an IED, was packed with shrapnel. Like they put nails in it, that kind of stuff. The Guardian describes that a video circulating shows that the vehicle was completely burned out. The latest apparent Ukrainian operation is unlikely to sit well with the Trump administration, which has been desperate to show a tangible progress on peace before Trump's 100th day in office next week, the Guardian continues. Videos of the car bombing suggest the persons behind the clips knew about the attack ahead of time. So, wow, Austin, you know, now they're killing top just Russian generals in Russia.
Oh, yeah.
It's a serious act of war.
No, it is. There's some wild stuff going on over there. And like I told you, they're not planning on phasing this war down at all right now. They want to escalate it. They've clearly wanted to escalate it. That's why Raytheon and Lockheed Martin are still doing so well as far as their shares and their stocks. And this is ongoing. It's been one gigantic weapon trafficking, money laundering scheme across the globe.
We covered this in detail the other day. I read you a commentary by somebody. Until all of this stuff gets done as far as the people who run the planet, until they make as much profit as they can out of Ukraine, they're not going to stop.
No.
They're simply not going to stop at all, ever.
No, that's exactly right. Now, I saw something here earlier. I heard you talking about it when I walked in. Did you cover this article yet? Here's I had it pulled up. It says the first tariff shock set to hit the Port of Los Angeles.
Nope, go ahead.
Okay. This is something that just came out. So, you know, we've been kind of monitoring this, kind of seeing what's going to happen with it. It says the first tariff shock to set to hit Port of L.A. with ripple effects across the broader economy. So it said the ocean freight times from Shanghai to Los Angeles typically range from 14 to 40 days with faster services, with expedited routes. They said with 145% tariffs now applied to almost all Chinese imports, the full economic impact will likely emerge with a lag of about a month or more as reduced import volumes and supply chain disruption take effect. Now, it's interesting about this. They're saying now new data from Port Optimizer, the tracking system, shows the scheduled import volumes in the Port of L.A. are set to decline sharply beginning on Sunday. They said year-over-year trucking activity out of Los Angeles is now down 23%, and it's likely to drop 50% in the next coming weeks.
Well, diesel fuel should be going down, guys.
Yeah. I mean, this is going to be rough for a lot of individuals that are basically truck drivers.
Oh, yeah.
So be ready for this. But, yeah, diesel fuel should start dropping down because you're going to have a lot less demand for this stuff. And so the incoming disruption of Port of L.A. will soon result in sliding containerized flows from China, which will ripple through the Southern California economy. Just something to be a heads up. I mean, we knew a lot of this was going to happen. This is going to continue to happen. And that's something just to be aware of and make sure you're staying prepped with anything that you may need. But I'll post this article on the website so you guys can look at it. And it goes into detail here about a lot of different stuff that's going to be happening over the next coming months.
No, a lot is going to be happening. We just covered this about how much of the economy is going to be affected now. I was talking about it when you walked in.
Yeah, I heard that.
You know, and so a lot, I mean, we're talking hundreds of billions of dollars worth of products are not going to be coming in from China anymore.
Oh, yeah. And now they're showing here, they said the transit time's going through the roof. And basically, they're not going to be shipping a lot of stuff.
Well, the reason for that is they don't have the ships full.
Yeah.
And there's a
price certain, too much.
Well, no, the fuel's costing too much. It's costing, if you send a ship with, you know, if it'll carry 500 tons, let's say, you know, on the ship for X amount of fuel, you know, if it carries 50 tons, It's going to cost the same amount of fuel pretty much on a ship.
Right.
Because of the resistance and the drag on the hull. And so what ends up happening is it's going to massively increase shipping costs if they don't send those ships over full. And if the ships have cancellation on their orders or they can't stack the ship properly. I remember years ago, Sharon and I, you know, went into Shanghai. And we actually flew into Hong Kong. But we went into the port of Shanghai. And I remember we came in and there were huge ships. I mean, monstrous cargo ships that were being built on both sides of the waterway going into the to the dock. And we were watching all the welding torches going. It was it's unbelievable how much. And these ships were massive. And there were dozens and dozens of them being built at once to carry the containers over to the United States and around the world from China. The sad part about it is that now those ships are going to be massively in oversupply. They're not going to be needing them anymore. And so all these people that have bought these giant vessels are going to be going, well, how do we cash flow this now?
That's going to be an issue, too. A lot of these ships are going to be sitting idle.
Now, speaking of China, it's now detonated a non-nuclear hydrogen bomb media. Don't even listen to this kind of stuff, guys. I'm going to read it because it made top news. The South China Morning Post has cited research saying that a 2-kilogram magnesium hydrate device generated a 1,000 degrees Celsius fireball. Chinese researchers have successfully tested a non-nuclear hydrogen bomb that sustained a massive fireball. On the article on Sunday, the newspaper cited the researcher's study published last month in the Chinese Language Journal of Projectiles. And the field-tested device reportedly generated a fireball with temperatures exceeding 1,000 degrees. It was 15 times longer than what was equivalent to the TNT blast capable of producing. In the reaction, magnesium hydride, a compound originally developed as an efficient fuel, rapidly releases stored hydrogen gas, resulting in a sustained inferno. The novel explosive device's destructive power thus is said to be not in its blast pressure, but rather the ability to generate extreme heat. Now, here's what I'm saying this for. A lot of people are saying that we're still, you know, using nuclear weapons in the world. And if you believe what Jim Marsh said, and you looked at the detonators that were used after World War II on Hiroshima and Nagasaki, you kind of wonder what all this is about. And I'm not saying that nuclear weapons aren't real. Some people say they're not. I think they are. But the reality is the entities around the planet don't want these things being detonated in our atmosphere because they cause too much destruction in the timeline, in the space-time continuum, you could call it. Because remember, this is more of a projected holographic image field that we're in anyhow, and they don't like you detonating this stuff. So now they're saying, oh, China's detonated a non-nuclear hydrogen bomb. Yeah, now that's here for fear porn to show the United States people they could come in and incinerate your city now with this non-nuclear hydrogen bomb. No, they're not going to do that. China doesn't have the technology or the airplanes or anything else to drop this stuff on us. And if they did have a isolated event in which something was dropped on a major city in the United States, how do we know who did it? How do we know the CIA didn't do it? Look at 9/11. Look who was involved in 9/11. Look at Building 7. And now they're saying, one of the congressmen in Congress is actually saying, we have to have a new investigation of 9/11 because, quite frankly, Building 7 was detonated and was imploded. Which, I mean,
golly, about time somebody said in Congress.
No, 25 Jeez. Years later, are you kidding me?
That's been one of the most hushed up things in Congress, and nobody wants to talk. It's like nobody talks about Building 7.
Well, because it doesn't fit the narrative, Austin.
Jeez.
Two buildings fall down that could get hit by planes. Well, the third 60-story office complex, which houses...
Didn't get hit.
The head of the headquarters for the FBI had all the Enron information in it. Doesn't even get hit by an airplane. It collapses in its own footprint 8 hours later. I mean, anybody who doesn't realize that was a controlled demolition, you can watch the videos of Building 7 coming down. They're not paying attention. And most people to this day, when I ask them about Building 7, Austin, they have no idea what I'm talking about. And I pull it up and they go, well, I didn't know that happened. And I'm like, yeah, 9/11 was not what you think it was. It really, really was not. And by the way, there was a hurricane off the coast of New York that day. And I have read, and if you read Judy Wood's book, Where Did the Towers Go?, she feels as though they were pulling energy from that hurricane for a space-based weapons platform. Just thought I'd mention that. Everybody needs to read that book, Where Did the Towers Go? In other words, W-H-E-R-E, why was the amount of debris at the tower site not equivalent to the amount of tower that was taken down? Here's Building 7. Watch this, Building 7. Okay, in case you haven't seen it. Boom, boom, boom. You watch the squibs come out. See all the blowouts? Those are squibs. That means that they're all being blown out right there. And then watch this. See the squibs over here? Now this side comes down. That's Building 7. Yeah, that just fell down by itself, didn't it? Yeah, whatever. The same
end of the day later.
The same people who took down Building 7 are the same group that runs the planet.
Yeah.
You could say the guys who took down Building 7, that's the ones that basically take down, that have done this to the entire planet. What is this? NAC.
Well, this other article came out talking about the benefits of N-acetyl cysteine, which you guys saw. You voted. I had a little case of it over here.
Would your iPad fall? You're being wild here.
Well, I can't make sure everybody's got access to this, and you guys know why it's such an important supplement. NAC is a form of essential amino acid cysteine. It helps unbelievably well with the immune system, liver protection, detoxification, and cardiovascular health. How it works, it modulates the expression of genes that affect the inflammatory process. It inhibits the expression of pro-inflammatory cytokines and basically suppresses and regulates the genes, thereby preventing inflammation and pain. This is an incredibly good product that helps out with cardiovascular benefits, also helps out with neurological benefits, immune system benefits, detoxification benefits, respiratory benefits, stomach and gut benefits, kidney disease benefits, compulsive hair pulling and psychiatric illness improvement.
Whoa. Now, I've seen this before.
Yeah.
Compulsive hair pulling,
this
psychiatric illness.
This has been brought up repeatedly about N-acetylcysteine. I mean, it's, you look at the thing on there.
Trichotillomania is a bizarre obsessive compulsive disorder in which victims pull out their hair for inexplicable reasons, causing noticeable hair loss. The unusual treatment is an antidepressant drugs or tranquilizers. Studies indicate that NAC significantly reduces compulsive hair pulling. Schizophrenia, autism, bipolar illness, and other obsessive compulsive disorders may also be improved with NAC.
It's like this thing
just keeps on giving, doesn't it?
Product does everything, man. And athletic benefits. Well,
due to its antioxidant effects and benefits to the respiratory system, NAC improves athletic performance. Specifically, NAC reduces muscle fatigue and has been proven in double-blind studies, enhances athletic endurance, anti-aging benefits. I may have to start taking some of this stuff again. If you can effectively scavenge harmful free radicals, as NAC-created GHS GUD does, it stands to reason you can prevent premature aging. This phenomenon indeed has been proven in numerous scientific studies. Drug addiction benefits.
Yep.
I didn't know about this one. You can effectively if studies have also indicated may have diminished the craving for highly addictive drugs, as such may be useful adjunct to many drug detoxification programs. Wow. How about that?
It's 600 milligrams to 3,000 milligrams daily. And it said take with it the equivalent amount of vitamin C for maximum effectiveness. I thought it was pretty
good. So 3,000 milligrams of that, 3,000 milligrams of
vitamin C.
Well, vitamin C is a tremendous antioxidant.
Yeah, it also helps out, brought up earlier, with kidney disease. So if you're having kidney issues, another good product to take on here. But this stuff is amazing. It's one of the most effective products, I think, for detoxifying the body. But it's very downplayed. I mean, everybody kind of sleeps on N-acetylcysteine. Nobody really talks about it much until COVID. That's when it really came out and it started to get popular because of what it did.
Remember that one article from that journal that came out and it said NAC and nitric oxide?
Yes.
And they came back in and they scrubbed the journal.
That's
and
right.
They, and
I
they
forgot
changed it.
Yes, you're right. Yes.
It's an online journal.
N-acetylcysteine and nitric oxide and what it did in the body.
And we had a copy of it before they scrubbed it, before they cleaned it up and took it off.
Yep.
And we had it for years and suddenly it just disappeared. I'm sure it got piled in a pile of papers. But it says how it works. Let's see how it works here. It basically modulates the expression of genes that affect the inflammatory process. In other words, it stops inflammation. It inhibits the expression of pro-inflammatory cytokines, which we talk about that. We talk about vitamin D3 and macrophages. It suppresses the NF-kappa-B and regulates the gene for COX-2 therapy, thereby preventing inflammation and pain, particularly in joints, I will add. These chemicals are involved in hundreds of inflammatory conditions and diseases. In other words, N-acetylcysteine is an anti-inflammatory and can either blunt or reverse chronic inflammatory conditions.
Yeah.
That's a pretty bold statement.
Bold statement.
Now, we're not making that claim, but I'm just telling you that's what it's saying on this article right here. Wow, that's pretty impressive.
Good stuff.
I'm going to have to start taking it again.
You need to.
Well, I haven't tried it for a while.
I know a guy that sells it.
I know it's a good product. We have, and it's the highest quality we can get.
No, it is. That is one of the things we always try to do with our raws. We try to get the best we possibly can. So if you guys need anything, Team Health Masters, be sure to stock up on it right now for product of the week. Over 17% off right now on sale.
Oh, interesting thing for ladies this morning. Longer hair, less hair styling being done, doing your nails at home, and fewer facials, how economic warning signals are flashing at the salon.
That's interesting.
That's funny.
Sales are going down
this. Yeah. Salon owners say they're seeing a shift to their client spending that could be a warning sign ahead of what's a wider economy. In other words, instead of getting their nails done every 4 weeks, they may be getting their nails done every 6 weeks.
Yeah.
Or every 8 weeks, which reduces the cost to them by 50%. So salon owners and other beauty professionals across the country said they are seeing a shift in behavior among their clients in recent weeks as economists, investors, and CEOs have been warning about an economic slowdown following widespread tariffs. It's not just the tariffs. That hasn't even gotten to the economy yet. It's a shift in behavior that not only hurting salon owners' paychecks, but also be a warning sign. And this is, again, you know, what Steve Bannon said this morning. Also, we covered the article he had written on why Doge needs to release all of the financials on all of this money that they have found that's been missing and misspent. Elon Musk is not really giving us forensic accounting on this. He's saying, well, there's some things that they're using.
He's been giving us reporting, but he hasn't actually given us a full spreadsheet with this stuff.
We need a full spreadsheet. We need to know where it's going to go. And a lot of the money, too, remember, if it's being stopped in these protocols and these programs, eventually trickle down into the general economy.
That's true.
And when that happens, less M1 money supply being used, and that's going to affect the economy, too, because when you have all this money being handed out for free to various groups around the country, they're still spending the money in most cases. They're not sitting on it, which is still having a compounding effect as far as the general economy.
Yep.
But then back to Reagan called it trickle-down economics, and that when you start having more, that's why he didn't like taxes on the rich. That's why he lowered it so much, because he said the rich people are the ones that start businesses. The rich people are the ones that hire people. The rich people are the ones that basically are buying things. He said when you tax them at 80, 90% of their income, they can't do that anymore.
It's true.
And then the government, that's unbelievably known for its inefficiency, it doesn't know what to do with the money. So it just throws it at people, but it doesn't have a compounding effect because they're not starting businesses or hiring people or anything else. They're just spending the money. So you lose the compounding factor of that. And Reagan was right about that, by the way. You don't need to be taxing the people that make the money in order to give it to people who don't want to work. That's awful, doesn't it? But that's what Doge is, wasn't it, Austin? A lot of these organizations, that one black senator or congressman or whatever she was, she got billions and billions of dollars into her nonprofit.
$2 billion.
And they're supposed to be buying refrigerators and stuff, and it finds out she didn't buy hardly any refrigerators or stuff.
Just got laundered.
That's all it was.
And that's what's crazy about it, and that's why, you're right. A lot of the stuff does need to get put out in a spreadsheet. Everybody needs to have access to this. If they're going to talk about it, they need to give everybody full access to being able to see it and what's actually going on with it as well. There's no question about that.
By the way, a new article just came out and said, eat your meat. Studies find children need to eat more animal protein for survival and development. Isn't that interesting? Now, when I say animal protein, I'm talking about beef, eggs, butter, lamb, chicken. I'm not talking about pork ever, and I'm not talking about shellfish ever. That's my opinion in that, because you don't need to be eating things that can cause parasitic infestations. A groundbreaking study reveals that animal protein is crucial for child development and survival. While plant-based proteins promote longevity in adults over 60, essential nutrients in animal products, complete proteins, iron, and zinc, support growth in children, whereas plant-based diets reduce chronic disease risks in older adults. I don't believe that. Okay, that a plant-based diet will reduce your disease risks in older adults. I don't believe that at all, unless you're eating 4 pounds of pork a day. All right, that would be better. Analysis of 101 countries shows higher animal protein intake lowers child mortality, but reduced animal protein in later years correlates with longer lifespans. I disagree with that, too. Fat intake follows a similar pattern, beneficial for children but detrimental for seniors. I disagree with that, too. You got to have fat to produce cholesterol and hormones. Youth requires nutrient-dense animal proteins for physical and cognitive growth, while aging bodies benefit from a plant-based antioxidants, fiber, and lower-fat diets. Now, I'm going to stop here for 1 second because I'm disagreeing with a lot of this article. Here's what I learned as a naturopath. I learned that children up to the age of 7 need to be on, raw certified goat's milk, raw certified cow's milk without a bunch of hormones, organic stuff, in order to get a large amount of protein, which is very easy to digest for them. I also learned that a child under the age of 7 shouldn't be eating large amounts of meat, because their bodies really can't process because of digestive enzymes. Now, after the age of 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, when they're teenagers particularly, they need to be on enough protein, and I would recommend that from animal sources. But I'm not saying to reduce the protein of these children. I'm saying give them protein they can absorb and digest properly, like raw cow's milk if you can get it state certified, or raw goat's milk. Now, children under the age of two shouldn't be getting any raw cow's milk at all. It's hard to digest, but they can do the raw goat's milk. Very, very important that they have sufficient amounts of protein in their diet and organic vegetables and a lot of eggs. Those are very easy to digest. In addition to that, nut butters are difficult for children to digest, and they shouldn't be eating, you know, huge peanut butter and jelly sandwiches when they're 2 years old. That's silly, too. Stay away from the nut butters. But the eggs and the milk and the cheese, all very good for them if it's a raw-based product and it's organic. Austin, what do you think?
No, you're spot on with that. And also, too, be very cautious with the ultra-pasteurized milk.
No, it's so
bad. I've talked about it in detail.
Toxic stuff.
I didn't know what it was a couple of years ago. I knew pasteurization, but the ultra-pasteurized, look on the side of the carton, because it's almost every single milk now on the shelf. It's all ultra-pasteurized, all of it. And the stuff's unbelievably, it's honestly, it's toxic. The body can't even digest it. So, I mean, it's a mess.
So that's not going to help a child's nutritional needs.
No, not at all. Not at all. Now, this is an interesting article here. Now, this is coming out talking about, says, drugs into an oblivion. More than 60% of U.S. adults are taking pharmaceutical drugs now.
I'm sure it's higher than that.
This is crazy.
Look at this guy laying there dead from an overdose.
Says, according to the survey, a whopping 61% of all U.S. adults are currently taking at least one pharmaceutical drug. And it says, crazy now here, says the CDC data shows that nearly 18% of Americans had depression in 2023, all-time high. If you go back to 2005, they said the rate of depression was only 5.4%. So, I mean, it literally more than tripled in just, what, 15 years, a little less than 20 years. And so what's crazy about this, you got yourself a question, what changed in that time from 2023 or 2005 to 2023? What changed in that time period and what increased the depression rate so much? And I think a lot of it has to do with the social media platforms and too much television, too much just not having the ability to try to make goals and set, you know, different things that you want to try to achieve. Everybody just wants to live through social media now and look at what everybody else is doing. So be very cautious of that. In most cases, certain people don't need a lot of these drugs. So, I mean, 61% of the population's on pharmaceuticals. That's
the worst product that they can take are statins.
Oh, yeah. Statins. Stay away from statins.
If you're on statins, make sure have your doctor take you off of them. I'm not telling you to come off a prescription drug, but, man, they've got some serious side effects.
Oh, they do.
Oh, by the way, Jeffrey Sachs has now stunned the EU Parliament and has told the European Union Parliament that the Ukraine war is over and Ukraine has lost. I mean, duh. And no, we're just pumping money into it. The U.S. and NATO policies are under fire. Professor Jeffrey Sachs has an impactful, powerful speech in the European Parliament where he declared that the Ukraine war is over, and I have to agree with him. They're keeping it going only for one reason, for more weapons trafficking.
Yep, and money.
Yep,
that's a lot
exactly
of money.
Right.
They're making a lot of money off of it.
And I talked about this earlier. I'll say it again on this particular topic. The CEOs of Walmart, Target, Home Depot and Lowe's warned that American store shelves could soon be empty. If you're going to need any made in China, I would buy it now while you still can. Many companies have already decided that it no longer makes any sense to basically import Chinese-made products into the United States because tariffs are so high. As a result, there are certain things that will no longer be available to U.S. consumers. On Monday, an article was posted called Empty Shelves, but in the months ahead, some people thought I was exaggerating. Now they're starting to see it, especially when the CEOs of Walmart, Target, and Home Depot are coming out and saying a lot of the products that we're having now that are made in the Chinese area simply will not be available to us as consumers from this point forward because they're being stopped. And it's going to be interesting when this happens. It really, really, really is, Austin. What do you think?
No, it's crazy. It's definitely going to change some stuff around with these crazy tariff numbers. I mean, these are some serious price increases overnight. It's something to just watch out for and be aware of. This is interesting now, too. Another unbelievably liberal judge blocks Trump administration efforts to remove DEI from public schools.
Unbelievable.
This is crazy. The judge ruled the Department of Education requirements were vague and gave no examples of DEI practices that violated any civil rights laws whatsoever. Hours before the deadline for states to certify their DEI programs have ended in public school, federal court halted the administration's requirement, siding with the National Education Teachers Union. This is
not a bunch of communists.
No, they're just straight communists. Here's the thing. There was no useful purpose to have this stuff in the school system at all.
Communists and lesbians.
Fact that this stuff was getting pulled out and then he blocks it right at the last minute, it just shows you, yes, this is pure communism run amok, and that's what's happened when we've got these liberal judges in here now.
Well, the biggest problem is this, and I don't mean this in a bad way or a good way. I'm just going to be blunt about it anyhow. when you have these Butch Dyke lesbians in the school systems and on school boards and, you know, running DEI initiatives throughout the school systems, they feel as though it's necessary to do that because they want to justify their own behavioral patterns and lifestyle choices. Now, I know that's a very harsh thing to say, but it's the truth.
It is.
You know, when they basically are Butch Dyke lesbians and they're mean as crap and they want to get in fights and fist fights and lesbians have told me they don't even like Butch Dyke lesbians. Just thought I'd mention that to you. I know that sounds weird, doesn't it? But that's what I've been told. The sad part about all of this is when you stop and you think about it, you go, well, why are these people put in charge? Because the people that put them in charge are also gay.
Exactly right.
And so they vote them in these positions of power. We saw the same thing on our own school board in Polk County, yep. which is one of the most conservative counties in the United States of America. And we had her voted off. And she was looking at me when we were talking like she was going to kill me.
Oh, I mean, they were bent on demanding that the kids still be forced to wear masks for another school year. And COVID wasn't even a thing anymore in Polk County and Central Florida in 2021. It was done. It was over with. You got sick, you got over it. And they were bent on it. All the children have to wear masks at all times when they're at school.
Oh, I went in there and talked about cultural Marxism. I talked about the Frankfurt School. I talked about what was going on with Planned Parenthood. I mean, I nailed it. And the video went viral. For about one day.
Yeah.
And then, of course, YouTube pulled it down because they didn't want me doing it. And then by the time we got it reapproved through basically going in and saying that they were still posting the same video on the school board website, they basically approved it to go back up again, but we couldn't get the viral message going again.
Now, once it loses traction, the algorithm is done.
Well, what happens is what they do is they don't put it up. They make sure the algorithm doesn't allow it to come
back
up again. Oh, by the way, this is an interesting article. 60% of all fresh fruit and 38% of fresh vegetables sold in the U.S. are imported from foreign nations. But, you know, we're supposed to be the breadbasket of the country.
Oh, those are big numbers.
38% of fresh fruit and vegetables are sold or basically coming from other companies. It says, taking a minute away from the maddening world of politics for a minute, it is spring and sometime in the sun planting or gardens finally being done. Badly written. I'm not going to try to read it. But what they're saying is that, you know, there's a problem. And let me say something to you, folks. If you're writing articles, let me give you a little hint. That somehow this concept has eluded a lot of people. And I'm not picking on this particular article because it happens all the time. Read the article that you wrote out loud.
Out loud, yeah.
So in other words, if somebody wants to report on it and read it on the show like the Ted Nossen Brower Show, it needs to flow. And a lot of times it doesn't. I learned that when I was in graduate school. I was sitting there writing papers constantly. Read it out loud, and you'll see, oh, my gosh, that doesn't sound right. It doesn't make sense. And if you can't read it out loud, it won't make sense. So go through your articles before you post them and read them out loud. You say, well, I don't want to do that. It's going to take too much time. Trust me, just do it. It'll make it easier for us to report the articles, especially when it's a really good one like that one. Just aggravated a little bit. What do you think, Austin? What's your next?
No, you're spot on with that. I remember you actually told me to do that when I was in college, too. I'd be writing some of the papers. You go, did you read out loud yet? Mm-hmm. I'm like, no. He said, well, go read out loud. I'm not reading it until you read it out loud. And then sure enough, you go back in. You have to change a bunch of stuff on it. He said, it'll sound goofy. It sounds good in your head. You say it out loud.
Well, what I would do, I did this in graduate school. I had a paper due like in 4 weeks. Well, I'd have it written before 4 weeks early. I have it done.
Yeah.
But I wasn't finished with it. And then 2 or 3 days, I'd go back in, and I would scale it, like fishing scale, clean it up, right? And you clean a fish. A lot of you don't know what that means, but some fish actually have scales. Those are the ones you're supposed to eat, by the way. And so then I would go back, and after the 3 or 4 days there, I'd scale it again. And after about 2 weeks of scaling it, I'd say, that's pretty good now. And I would turn it in 2 weeks early. And every once in a while, the professor would see something he didn't like in it. He'd give it back to me. He goes, I don't want to grade this yet. I've circled the spot I want you to fix. I'm like, okay, great. Then I'd fix it again, and I'd turn it back in. Those were the good professors. I liked those guys. They were pretty good. I had some really good ones. Dr. Turner was
one of the professors. Professors do stuff for you like that, especially when they kind of give you a heads up, like, hey, you know, look over this again real quick. It's I think they like it, too, because they know that you're actually trying to put effort in. You're not sitting there waiting for the last day deadline to slap it in and be like, oh, it's done now.
I would ask them, could you review this and tell me what you think?
Yeah.
I would actually ask
that. I did that, too, a couple times.
But when you do that, it really builds a good rapport with the professor anyhow, and so it makes it a lot easier to get a better grade in the class. It really does.
No, it really does. And they see you actually want to be there. You're not just trying to push through the class and get a grade out of it. You actually want to learn.
Oh, by the way, early OpenAI investor is now saying the chilling reason why the U.S. must win an AI race against China.
Here we go.
I mean, how quickly can we connect to Lucifer, right? Venture capitalist Khosla has issued a grave warning declaring the United States is in a do-or-die AI race against China with a specter of worldwide communist ideology looming if American falters. Khosla cautioned that the failing to lead an AI could allow China's authoritarian regime to impose its oppressive vision globally. You know, I'm going to stop here for a second. This is all garbage. This whole article about AI.
Oh, it is. They're trying to justify pushing AI further and further and further and further now.
I mean, why do we want a machine tied into an interface with Lucifer to run the planet? Period. You think that the machine that we have in the United States that's going to be tied to Lucifer is going to be different than the machine tied to Lucifer in China?
Yeah.
It's the same. It's the same entity running both machines, and we need to understand that and realize that when these guys say this, all they're trying to do is promote the AI agenda.
That's exactly right.
That's all they're trying to do.
Well, my friends, hope you guys stay strong and healthy. You need anything? The contact or the product of the week, the N-acetylcysteine. Be sure to stock up on it. Also, sign up for the contact form on the Brower Show at the top. Stay up to date on all of our emails from the Brower Show and Health Masters. I appreciate y'all. Have a fantastic weekend. Stay safe. We'll talk to you on the show Monday as always.
I love you guys. I had the opportunity to pray for you again. It's always my privilege and my pleasure to pray for you. Thank you for your continued prayers for me and for Austin and our families. We pray for you on a regular basis. I love you guys and I appreciate you. Remember, like we said the other day, zwei Lebensstützen brechen nie, Gebet und Arbeit heißen sie. Two principles of life that can never be broken, prayer and work. Always look to God. Have a blessed weekend. And remember, guys, we love you.